What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Draft time! I'm sure everybody's excited. So I'm going to get into all these guys and what the Browns should do at number two and what Ryan Wilson thinks they're going to do at number two.
And I want to know if last night changed anything for Browns fans because Sam Darnold...
Come on down!
Went out with a whimper the last 2 weeks, so now could be even more available than he was before. Had a great regular season. Was even, from some, an MVP candidate.
I think the last two... If Kwesi Adofo-Mensah doesn't fall far from the tree, I think the last 2 weeks made him available. Let's get to Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, with the First Pick podcast. Also got to bring up that he hosts with Rick Spielman, who is currently looking for general managers for the New York Jets, and that can be an awkward situation for Ryan. But Ryan joins us right now at Ryan Wilson CBS on Twitter. Hello, Ryan. Good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
You have Shedeur Sanders going to the Browns at number two. How dare you?
How's that going over in Cleveland? You mentioned Sam Darnold, so that gives you some indication that fans understand the situation.
Why didn't how do I understand the situation? As an outsider, tell me the situation.
Well, the quarterback situation is a real concern, like it was last year, and then you re-tear your Achilles, and it wasn't clear what the quarterback situation was going to be before he hurt his Achilles the second time, and Jameis came in and was fun for a few weeks. DTR struggled down the stretch, and Bailey Zappe was a fun little Week 18 experiment. I think you need a quarterback because, when on the outside looking in, when Myles Garrett makes it known that he needs to know the direction of the organization because he's burning Hall of Fame years, sort of spinning his wheels, I think that tells you what you need to know. And, look around, the AFC North in particular, the Steelers are and not that different a situation quarterback-wise, but the Bengals are in pretty good shape, and the Ravens are even better shape at the quarterback position. So you can have everything, 21 other positions, sewed up. If you don't have a quarterback, it doesn't matter. There's a reason the Steelers fans and their media talking heads are throwing around ideas like, let's trade Mike Tomlin. Well, if you don't have a quarterback, it doesn't matter who your coach is. You're not going to win consistently or win enough to get to the playoffs consistently.
So, Ryan, when you are sitting at two, a place where the Steelers have never been able to get to because of their successes in the regular season, I've seen people talk about you can't just take a quarterback to take a quarterback. But when you are talking to evaluators and you have your own evaluations, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, are they first-round graded quarterbacks by the NFL?
They weren't coming into the season. Cam was probably a little lower than Shedeur, depending on who you were speaking to. But they both had really good years. And the issue, Lima, is this. When you get to this point of the process, and this will happen over the next – we actually have literally 100 days until the NFL draft. We find reasons not to like these players, and then moments before the draft, we fall back in love with them. And go back to 2023 and watch Shedeur Sanders and what they did those first 3 weeks when they started 3-0 and everyone couldn't quit talking about Colorado. He's built on that. He's a really good football player. And I think Cam's made huge strides this year. We talked to scouts over the summer. The issue with Cam was that he didn't play on time, a lot of hero ball, and he and Shedeur both suffered from that. But Cam's a little bigger. Unofficially, we'll find out as we get through this draft process. Has a bigger arm, is a better athlete in space, and incredibly calm under fire. Sort of checks all the boxes of the quarterbacks you're looking for. But the reality is this. If these quarterbacks were in last year's class, I've been saying this for weeks, maybe months, they're probably no better than QB 5 or 6. And I'm taking Michael Penix Jr., both of these picks right now, and I'm probably leaning these guys up for J.J. McCarthy just because I didn't see a lot from J.J. last year except for fleeting moments, and of course he's injured this year. So you're taking a gamble, no doubt about it. I mean, that's the reality of it. But, again, it's one of those gambles where you almost have to keep taking these kids until you get it right because if you don't get it right, you're in purgatory.
I mean, Ryan, this is not a good sales job for me.
No, it's not.
It's and that scares the bejesus out of me because I've watched them. I give them both credit. I think they've both done considerably better from where they started to where they finished. They've gotten better every year. They've made their programs better. I think that Shedeur Sanders has improved as a quarterback from the nuts and bolts of what you'd want to see out of a guy of the NFL. But when I'm talking about these guys, I'm like trying to sell myself to them. And I like a lot of fans would like to get to a draft where I don't need to sell myself to anybody. They're there, and we're there, and let's make this marriage happen. But I'm in a spot right now with the Browns, Ryan, where like my general manager and head coach might not be here next year. And I'm trying to straddle a very tough line, being a conduit between that building and the fans, where, you know, I want what's best for the franchise long term. And I don't know if either of these guys are franchise guys for the long term. And I don't want these guys to be drafted just to try to save jobs. It scares me. Because I don't want to be left holding the bag on these guys when we get to next year's draft. And there is four guys that you could take in the first round and we could fight over and see which one's the better one.
Yeah, no, that's right. And those are the conversations you're going to have. And I go back to the 2022 class when, you know, the media folks thought that all these quarterbacks were going to be overdrafted. It ended up only Kenny Pickett won the first round and everyone else went starting in round three. And no one really panned out from that group. And I think maybe we see some of that. I think Cam Ward has a chance to be the first guy going. And a lot of guys at the top, the Browns, the Giants, the Raiders, they need quarterbacks. So it could be an overdraft situation. But your point's an important one. And it to a degree, it almost feels like the Will Levis conversation where you're trying to convince yourself that your eyes aren't lying to you and this kid will work out. And Will Levis may end up being a Hall of Famer, but it didn't work out in Tennessee because it wasn't a great situation. And quarterbacks that get drafted high, Will Levis is the exception, went in the second round, go to typically bad situations. We all thought Caleb Williams was going to be a Hall of Famer this year because it was a quote-unquote perfect situation for a first-round quarterback, and it was a disaster, not because of him, because of the lack of infrastructure around him, starting with the head coach. So I take your point. I'll throw this guy at you guys. I've been throwing this around to some other teams at the top that might need quarterbacks. And I'm a big Kyler Murray fan. I don't know how the Cardinals feel about him, but I know towards the second half of the season he has a history of the wheels falling off to some degree. Would you, as the Cleveland Browns, trade the second-round pick for Kyler Murray? He moved down to 16, I think. So 16 for Kyler Murray and number two.
I don't get anything else. I just get Kyler Murray and the 16th pick?
Yeah, you can work out the details if you want a couple fourth-round picks and some hamburgers, but I mean the main point is getting a quarterback that you feel a little better about than maybe what's in the draft class.
You want to answer that first, Tone?
Well, Kyler's really interesting. His profile is interesting. He's also cooked us in a few games, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He made us look really bad. Of course, you know, so did Zappy. So we've had some over the years. So did Mac Jones. So Kyler definitely has talent. I mean, he definitely has talent. And he's better than anything we've had since Baker. But at the same time, you know, does that work over the full course of a season? His size, what does it look like in the cold? You know, those are probably going to be disqualifiers, I think, for this front office.
Man, I don't even think it's for the front. I don't think the fans would have a good time with that. I don't think the fans would have a good time with that at all. I mean, Ryan, I get it.
I'm trying to envision something that's not a Justin Fields, Russ Wilson, Sam Darnold type of quarterback situation, Daniel Jones, sort of the guys that you have to take because you don't have a choice. Something a little sexier than that, but it's hard, and that's the concern. That's the real issue. Kirk Cousins, I guess, is another name if you want to. But is that you feel better about Kirk Cousins than trade for Kyler Murray?
Ryan Wilson joining us, CBS Sports. Well, say like the Browns
3 years ago, maybe.
Say the Browns signed Sam Darnold, right? Mm-hmm. Say he's a free agent. March, Browns signed Sam Darnold. Does that make other teams go back to their rooms and go, hey, are we sure about these quarterbacks at the top of the draft? Because you take a guy like Sam Darnold, what is he, 27, Anthony, or 28? Like he's still not old. And so if you take a guy like that, you're thinking, hey, do you really like the guys at the top of the draft, or could you go ahead and take a guy later on? And would that make other teams wonder differently about the two quarterbacks at the top?
No, teams typically, they don't pay attention to other teams during the process. They're sort of doing their thing. I remember when Mitch Trubisky was drafted, I was talking to a scout about it afterwards, and they said that another team, it wasn't the Bears, said we had a fourth-round grade on Mitch. So they were shocked, and they didn't have real sense for what was going on, just sort of an idea of how siloed these teams are once they start getting through it. But the thing with Sam Darnold is this, and I think Kevin Stefanski's great head coach, great play caller, and in some trying circumstances. But if Kevin O'Connell got every ounce of what's good out of Sam Darnold under near-perfect circumstances, the defense and Justin Jefferson and the running game, how much of that percentage-wise is Stefanski going to be able to get in slightly less great circumstances in Cleveland? Because that's my concern, whether Sam Darnold goes there or goes to somewhere else that isn't perfectly suited for him to have success. Because you guys just talked about the last two games for Sam Darnold, and that looked a lot like the last 4 or 5 years of Sam Darnold, and that would be the concern before you have to pay someone whatever it's going to be, $35, $40 million if he doesn't stay.
Ryan Wilson, this microphone. Ryan Wilson joining us on the show. Tell me about Jackson Dart. Give me a comparison for him because, I mean, ever since the bowl game, I've been getting inundated with Photoshops of him, DMs, the whole – not DMs from him, DMs from fans, the whole thing about us getting Jackson Dart and making him the starting quarterback at some point in the future, not obviously at the beginning of the season.
He's a tough kid. I liked his 2024 season a lot. He's better than Matt Corral coming out, and you know they both played at Ole Miss. They both were number two. Matt Corral may have been a slightly better athlete, had some off-field maturity issues, but Jackson Dart, I'm thinking late day two, maybe into day three. The big issue for Jackson for me is just the arm strength, the ability to push the ball down the field consistently. He does have some accuracy issues on and off, but again, I liked a lot of what I saw. That bowl game gave me flashbacks to Zach Wilson pro day throws where everyone lost their mind on social media because Zach Wilson was crushing it against air. I think Jackson Dart is a sort of a quality backup, but if you're building your organization around Jackson Dart, you have bigger issues because I don't think he's got to come in right away or, as you know, year two, year three, and give you the type of starts you need to be a playoff team.
Because I've said, we've had people call in, I said, are you just trying to talk yourself into a low risk, high reward because you don't want to make a mistake on a quarterback at the top of the draft. You just said yeah.
Yeah, but you're not taking him at the top of the draft.
But I'm thinking like some people are talking like, okay, let's go get a vet. Then we go get Jackson Dart. And I'm thinking, do you really like Jackson Dart? Or did we just see him in a bowl game and we don't want the Browns to screw up the top of the draft?
Yeah, no, that's right.
Which
because
is fair.
The other question you have to ask yourself is how often do second, third, fourth round picks work out at quarterback? I mean, Russ Wilson was a third round pick, Kirk Cousins was a fourth round pick. And then after that, you're sort of squinting to find the good stuff amid a sea of bad stuff. Quarterbacks are, first round quarterbacks hit it 50% less, a little bit less than that. So, right, this is a situation where you're up against it. Beggars can't be choosers, and you're just throwing darts and hoping for the best. And that's, again, it's not a great sell job, but it's the reality of when you don't have a quarterback. And not the Browns aren't the only team in this situation. There are 16, 17 teams trying to figure this thing out. The issue, though, is that, as you noted, some guys could be – jobs could be on the line if you don't get this one right, which sort of increases the pressure.
Let's just say, Ryan, that the Browns had determined – in all their pre-draft stuff, that they were not going to take a quarterback at number two, but they wanted to take the best player available. Is there a gap there? Is there a player that it's a no-brainer to turn the card in that's not a quarterback, or do you think that the trade down might make a lot of sense?
Travis Hunter is, I mean, I think that would get the fan base excited, and he's the best player in this draft class. Like, he's my number one player.
He's the best what kind of a player in this draft class?
Cornerback, and then you have 15, 20 plays for him on offense. I mean, the kid can't – he does play 120 plays a game in college, but you just can't do that in the NFL against bigger, stronger, faster guys, longer season, you know, not playing in better weather as the season turns and gets to November, December. So I think you have him on defense and then have a package of plays for him because he's explosive. And if that's not your cup of tea, and, you know, maybe it's not for some teams just because he's slight of frame or whatever – I love him, but Abdul Carter, the edge rusher at Penn State. You could go with Mason Graham, the defensive tackle out of – I mean, you put Mason Graham next to Myles Garrett, and the defense is going to average 10 points a game. I mean, those guys can get after it. So there are layups. There are guys that you can draft in the top five where you can go to bed at night knowing you're not getting fired for that pick. And none of them are quarterbacks. So those are three defensive guys. This class is insanely deep along the front seven. So if that's what you're looking for, you can find it early or late. But again, the quarterbacks are obviously the talking point, and they are very few and far between in this class.
Ryan Wilson joining us. He hosts the With the First Pick podcast with Rick Spielman, former Vikings general manager, local guy. What's it like to host that podcast with him knowing that he's like in the middle of a search right now for the Jets next general manager, and like I've heard you guys, and like there's times where you guys like have to basically stop dead in your tracks because he's not allowed to say certain things. What's this like?
It's good. You know, last year he helped with the Washington Commanders search, and so we have a little background doing it. Last year felt a little more restrictive. This year he got started earlier with the Jets. They fired Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas earlier than the Commanders restarted. So it's a process. It's thorough. I mean, they've interviewed everyone and the brother. You guys may have been interviewed for his parts, I know, because he's had to miss some shows because they're working, you know, daylight hours from top to bottom. But it's also fun. Rick's a good Ohio kid. We have a good time together, and we can circle back. I'll be at the Shrine Bowl talking to Shador, and then the next week we'll be at the Senior Bowl. So we'll have a fresh report on these quarterbacks in a couple of weeks once we get back from that.
All right, we will talk to you again very soon because I would like to hear if anything has changed with the whole Shador thing. Ryan, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Thank you, guys.
Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Ryan Wilson CBS. Draft maven for them. Also with the First Pick podcast with him and former Vikings general manager Rick Spielman.